May the Lord help us to commence our worship this evening with hymn number 380. 380. O Jesus, thou fountain of grace, enlighten, enliven my heart, and show the sweet smiles of thy face, and from me bid evil depart. Pronounce, O pronounce, I am thine, a sinner once purchased by blood, and may I forever recline on the bosom of Jesus, my Lord. Hymn number 380.
Thank you. Our reading from God's holy word this evening you'll find in two portions of scripture. Firstly, we'll turn to the second book of Samuel, chapter 15, and read from verse 7 to the end of verse 18. And then we'll read from the book of Psalms and Psalm 55. Firstly, we'll turn to 2 Samuel chapter 15 and begin reading at verse 7. And it came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said unto the king, I pray thee, let me go and pay my vow, which I have vowed unto the Lord in Hebron. For thy servant vowed a vow while I abode at Geshur in Syria, saying, If the Lord shall bring me again indeed to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord. And the king said unto him, Go in peace. So he arose and went to Hebron. But Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, As soon as ye hear the sound of the trumpet, then ye shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called. And they went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel the Gilonite, David's counsellor, from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. And there came a messenger to David, saying, The hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, Arise, and let us flee. For we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly, and bring evil upon us, and smite the city with the edge of the sword. And the king's servants said unto the king, Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. And the king went forth, and all his household after him. And the king left 10 women, which were concubines, to keep the house. And the king went forth, and all the people after him, and tarried in a place that was far off. And all his servants passed on beside him, and all the Cherethites, and all the Pelethites, and all the Gittites, 600 men which came after him from Gath, passed on before the king. And now we'll turn to the book of Psalms and Psalm 55. Psalm 55. To the chief musician on Neginoth, Maskil, a psalm of David. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. Just leave the reading of God's precious word there. May it be made precious unto us, and we each be given that true spirit of real prayer. Oh, most holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Blessed Trinity. We have been spared and blessed to gather once more in this place of worship. And may it be a place of worship tonight. Lord, we come and we go. But may we not go as we came. May we go bettered from gathering together. Enhanced from gathering round thy word. Having our eyes drawn away for a season from this earth to heaven above, to have our minds taken away from us as sinful men and women in this congregation, to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, we come as we begin this service. We have already read thy word. We have already sung together. But now as we come to the throne of grace, may there be prayer in public, prayer in private. May there be indeed many in the congregation desiring to know thee this night. For Lord, how quickly thy people can be drawn away with doubts and fears. How long one and another can wander in a path of spiritual depression. Break through, Lord, if that be the case, that thy light may shine into the felt dark heart. And yet, Lord, if there be one that has not known that light shining, come and visit, we pray, so that the Son of Righteousness may arise, so that this night there may be one that is able to unburden themselves and be set free. For Lord, we are each placed in a different position. We each have differing needs, and how often we may be like the psalmist and long to have those wings like a dove and to soar away. And so as we walk this life, we pray for grace and submission and joy in our calling, in all that thou seest fit to bring into our lives. But when the trials come, may they be truly sanctified unto us, making us more Christ-like, drawing us indeed to plead once again, O Lord, what creatures we are. How quickly we can become cold and far off and independent. And Lord, we know we need those things to keep us dependent. Yet the flesh dislikes the way. Yet Lord, all we can beg is keep us near thy wounded side. Lord, for we fear to lay down any paths for us to walk in as individuals. We feel our lack of wisdom. Yet may we ask of thee for that wisdom, knowing that thou dost grant it. Lord, so as we come tonight, may we come with an understanding truly of who we are. For then we will come in that humble way. But Lord, we want, and thy people will want, that joy and comfort within, to know once more that it is well with them and will be well when called to die. To have their eyes drawn away from this time state for a season, to look to that which is to come. Lord, may we know, may we each know, that sweet assurance. Lord, we rest nothing in and of ourselves, but may we rest in thy word. For thy word is truth. And in a time where truth is whatever man thinks is right, help us to build upon that unshaken foundation. Thy word is truth. May thy word be precious. Thy word be indeed a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. That we do not wander into the various ditches that we fall into, left to ourselves. But may we know indeed, thy restraining hand kept upon us. Lord, we're prone to fall into great depravity. The seeds of all sin are in our hearts. Lord, keep us, we pray. Keep us indeed. So as we worship this evening, be with all here. Lord, we feel greatly the responsibility of standing in this place. We preach as a dying man to dying men, as if never sure to preach again. Lord, we don't know when we'll be called from this time to eternity. And none before us do either. Lord, make these things a matter of urgency. Lord, indeed, may we not put off that which is undone, whatever that may be. If there is that, Lord, which is wrong in our lives, which we know, Lord, give us grace to put it right. There are those that we have offended, Lord. Give us wisdom to approach unto them again. But Lord, if we know not that we are thine, Lord, truly, 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 lay thy hand and cause us to turn unto thee. We pray for the children and young people here again this evening. Lord, may they understand that which is being spoken once more. And as we gather together in the Sunday school this afternoon, may there be something that remains with them there. As we, Lord, look to that subject of repentance, may they indeed know that godly sorrow and that turning unto thee by faith. Lord, none are too young, and may they understand that too. None are too young to seek thy face. None are too young to be drawn by thy love. So do work and keep them. Lord, for there is so much that they have access to in our day. So much that we all have access to. So much pressure that can be placed upon them from many external influences. Lord, we need the work indeed. Help us, help those teachers, help those that preach the word to rightly direct and instruct them too. And may they indeed be seen to be those that are godly children, fearing their God and seeking to honour him. So Lord, be with those that are nearly at the end of another school year, where there may be those changes due going from one school to another, changes in friendship groups, changes in classes, whatever the situation is, Lord, do help them. Give them a spirit of real prayer indeed over all matters. And may they see those answers to prayer while they are young to encourage them. We pray for every member of the congregation, young, middle-aged or old. Lord, may we truly be a people that bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. May we see more of the fruit of the Spirit in those that we gather with week by week and worship with too. Pray for all those that have preached the word already today and maybe have their labours are at an end for today. Those that are preaching now, those that may be yet to preach in other lands, Lord, wherever thy people meet today and have met today, may there have been the power and unction of the blessed Holy Spirit applying and sealing the word for the good of souls. Lord, where there is that weariness right now, Lord, do strengthen again. And may there be real power in the churches that we know and love. Lord, we tremble much about the situation in so many ways. Lord, we pray that there may be indeed a turning to thee. There may be true spiritual life and growth in many. That there may be indeed those hearts that are changed. Those real, true converts of grace. Lord, we need it in our churches and we need it in our nation. We pray that there may be many raised into positions of power and authority in our government that may be God-fearing men and women. Lord, we know that nothing is too hard. We see the tide of iniquity that is great, but Lord, we know it can be pushed back in an instant. Lord, we know not what it will take or what means thou wilt use if it be thy will, but Lord, may thy people plead Whatever thou seest fit to bring upon this land, it may be for the spiritual good of this nation. Help us again, Lord, to build upon thy word. Touch the heart of our King, that he may be that right example, that he may be seen to be seeking thee, that he may realise he is King, but thou art the King of Kings. And Lord, to solemnly impress upon the mind of all those in power that the power has been given, and they must give an account of it. So Lord, work, we pray. And as we have now ended that month of so-called pride, overturn the proud designs of men's hearts. Lord, show again this nation that there is only one true right relationship between one man and one woman in that marriage state according to thy word. And Lord, whatever men and women may name themselves or think they are, Lord, they are as thou hast created them, and may they understand that too. Turn back the many abominations that are seen throughout this land. Oh Lord, what foolish state we are brought into. Preserve our national church from these errors too, and where there are those that are standing fast for that which is right in thy word, give them strength and encouragement and grace to carry on against that push of liberalism. Lord, we know that thou canst turn us again, and may it be our prayer indeed. But Lord, may it be the prayer for this place and for us as individuals, that we may know more of thee, that the blessed power of thy Spirit may be known and felt individually and as churches and throughout us, Lord. May we see more of the fruit of it indeed, and many added to the church. May there be, if there are those with a real burden, Lord, at this time, Lord, may that burden not be shaken off, but may it be placed upon them more and more for thine honour and glory. Strengthen Zion, we pray. Build us up, Lord, we beg. Open our eyes to see, Lord, where we have offended thee. And Lord, where our eyes are open to see that which is wrong, grant grace and freedom from the fear of man to do that which is right in thy sight, that once more thy rich blessing may be poured out upon us. Lord, forsake us not. Lord, we pray for us now as we gather around thy word. Lord, we pray that there may be many here tonight that feed on thy word and whose eyes are drawn away and up unto thee. Lord, thou knowest the thoughts in our mind. Lord, thou knowest our concern. Grant grace, grant strength, grant help. Or may it be the case, this poor man cried, and thou didst hear us. But Lord, may there be much true crying in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come, and let thy bright beams arise to dispel the darkness from our minds and open all our eyes. If our eyes are opened a little, Lord, we'll see great riches. And we will worship. May it be so tonight, we beg. Forgive all that we have asked amiss, we pray. That which we have forgotten to pray for may have been prayed for by those before us. And our cry be a united cry. For we ask all in and through thy precious name, dear Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hymn number 771. 771. To know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. All earthly good I count but loss and triumph in my Saviour's cross. Hymn number 771.
to help us each once again this evening, both in the preaching and the hearing of the word, I'll ask you to turn to the book of Psalms and the psalm that we read together, Psalm 55 and verses 22 and 23. Psalm 55 and verses 22 and 23. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. This psalm that we have before us this evening, we know it is a psalm of David. It is thought that it could well be written about part of that account that we read, the betrayal by Absalom or Ahithophel. We do not know that for certain. There are certain points in this psalm that would point to that, but there are also other points that point away from that. But what we do know was David was in a time of trouble. David was in a time of betrayal. Someone that was close to him, someone that was near to him, a man mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance, had become his enemy, was seeking now his life. He indeed was in great distress. And you may say that tonight, well, this psalm doesn't apply to me then, does it? Yes, I've got my trials and I've got my burdens, but I haven't got David's burden. But if David had something to turn to in this greatest of all burdens, do not we then have somewhere to turn tonight? Cast thy burden upon the Lord. It's an easy thing to say, isn't it? It's a command. And it comes with great blessings. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved, and so on, which we'll look at later on. But how hard it is to let go of the burden that is upon us. Because it involves us being completely dependent upon another. Which for independent people, that we all are to a certain extent, we do not like to do. Sometimes we're in those places like David was here. Nothing else to do. Nowhere else to go. Tried all options. Then there's only one thing. The casting of that burden upon the Lord. What's your burden this evening? Maybe your burden is what we have just been singing together. Maybe it is the fact that you long to know more of that true pleasure. You know there's peace in the Son of God, but you don't feel it. You know there's joy in his pardoning blood, but at the moment, You're not experiencing it. Maybe the burden is that you could know and love him more and all his wondrous grace explore. Maybe it is the loss he has placed upon you, the cross. Whatever it is, dear friends, may we cast it upon the Lord. But to look at David specifically, in these first few verses of this psalm, yes, he had this burden, but what was the effect that this burden caused? Verse 1, he felt deserted, didn't he? And what did he desire? Give ear to my prayer. His friends, those that he had trusted, had left him. He needed his Lord. Give ear to me, Lord. Listen to my cry. Hide not thyself from my supplication. Dear friends, that's what we need, isn't it? When all else fails, nowhere else to turn to. Give ear to my prayer. Deserted, give ear to my prayer. No one else can help me. Give ear to my prayer. I don't know what to do. Give ear to my prayer. A hymn just a few back from the one we have sung. Hymn 749. I hear a righteous man, a prophet good and great, in deep distress complain and thus his grief relate. I call on God and cry and shout, but all my prayer he shutteth out. Is that how you feel to be? But what can we do? What can we do with this burden? We feel the prayers being shut out, but what do we have to cry again? Give ear to my prayer. He cries and cries again, and yet no answer comes. He shouts aloud through pain, and still the Lord is dumb. Like some abandoned wretch he moans, and Jesus seems to mock his groans. But he doesn't, does he? He doesn't mock those that truly seek him. Because at that appointed time, he gives that sustaining grace. He lends that unseen hand. He gives that secret prop which keeps them waiting stand till he complete their hope. So let me wait upon this friend and trust him till my troubles end. And that's where we are, isn't it? When we feel deserted, forsaken, we want the answer immediately. We want the deliverance straight away. But those of you who have walked deep things here tonight, those of you that have known the sustaining, gracious hand of your God in those burdens, you wouldn't swap them for anything, would you? You wouldn't change it. You wouldn't have had that episode in your life removed. Why? Because what did it do? Strengthened your faith. Deserted indeed, but we cry to a God who hears and answers prayer. There's many sweet verses in Hebrews, isn't there? But what about verses 5 and 6 in chapter 13? Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as ye have. Yes, the burden. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The Lord is my helper. There was a time in my life when I was in my late teens and I had to work abroad in America, and I was in a situation where there was a lot of responsibility upon me, and I was working or in charge of many Americans who were very hard to work with for one reason or another. And I got to the end of the day and I felt I could not carry on. I felt alone, I felt deserted, overwhelmed, at breaking point. And I remember, and I don't know why I turned to Romans 8. I wouldn't have even known what Romans 8 was about at that point. But I remember reading this. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? The burden hadn't gone. The same problem was there this next day. Nothing had changed apart from the fact that the burden had been placed onto the giver of the burden. The burden had been given back to the Lord, and he sustained, gave strength. He appeared. So maybe you're deserted like David in this first verse, and all you can cry is, give ear to my prayer. Cry on, dear friends. Wait on. Seek on. He shall sustain thee. He has promised for all those that cast their burden upon the Lord. He does hear. But David felt deserted. But he also felt deceived, didn't he? Verse 12, it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me, that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. And how sorrowful and upsetting it is when our friends become our enemies. Those that we are near to, we are no longer near to, for whatever situation and circumstance may bring that to pass. But draw comfort, if that is you tonight, from dear Job. For that's how he felt, didn't he? My kinsfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in mine house and my maids count me for a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. But what was Job, by grace, able to do? Cast his burden upon the Lord. Prove, although through the greatest of straits, his God sustained him, kept him, encouraged him, strengthened him. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. You may have felt to be deceived by someone, so hurt by something. And what do we want to do? We want to hurt them back, don't we, if we're left to ourselves? But what is the best thing to do? Give it to the Lord. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. I can remember another time in my working life when I had my own business and someone basically stitched me up and took me for many thousands of pounds. And what did I want to do? I wanted to get my own back. I wanted to make matters right. I wanted to deal with them. But what did I have to do? Cast my burden upon the Lord. Leave it with the Lord. Let him sort it out. Never got the money. But I heard later the matter was sorted out in another way. A sad way. The matter was made right. You may feel deceived. Give it to the Lord. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. But maybe like David, you feel defeated tonight. Verse 5, fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. This is it. I thought I could endure and carry on with this burden, and now the point has come. Fearfulness and trembling now are upon me. Defeat is on the horizon. But is it? Is it defeat upon the horizon? And what is defeat? What did David say in Psalm 61? Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And that is where we are often brought to. Overwhelmed, sinking, defeated. Then we're led to the rock that is higher than I. Then we are placed upon some solid foundation. Then we are brought into that strong tower from the enemy. The safety that is alone to be found in Christ Jesus. That was like Jehoshaphat, wasn't it? Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20, that beautiful verse we have, verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. Maybe that's you tonight. But our eyes are upon thee. That's where we need to be brought, isn't it? Don't want to be overwhelmed. Don't want a great company to come against us. But when we know not what to do, sadly, it's only then our eyes are upon him. It's only then that our eyes are lifted up to the Lord. And we lay the burden there. But dear friends, maybe the burden this evening is the burden of your sin. David said in verse 4 of this psalm, my heart is sore pained within me. And the terrors of death are fallen upon me. And that may well have been because of the exact situation he was in. But do you not think in his time of great distress? And you know, I've only had someone say to me this week in a trial, they've said, I'm asking the Lord to show me why he has brought me into this trial. But sometimes, dear friends, there isn't a reason. Sometimes the only reason is that he may show his exceeding grace unto us. So he may show us who is indeed King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when we are brought into a trial and a great burden, it is a good thing to search our hearts, for we need it. We need to search our hearts and we need the Lord to search us and turn us inside out. But may we not indeed truly lay down those lines and say, oh, X is because of Y, and especially not in someone else's circumstance. If you see someone in a great trial and you say, well, it's because they did that and they did the other. Well, who are you? Are you God? No, you don't know. The Lord knows. And why did he bring a burden upon Job? For an unknown reason to Job. Why did he bring that great burden upon Peter when he denied the Lord thrice? For his good. Why did he bring that great trial upon Joseph? For the good of his people. We don't know why. But the Lord knows. Feel defeated. Overwhelmed by your sin. Your heart is sore pained within you because of your sin. Where do we go? Cast thy burden upon the Lord. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. But there is one point I especially want to emphasize this evening. And it may be in the margin of your Bible. Cast thy burden, or as it says in the margin of my Bible here, gift upon the Lord. Now this word burden in this psalm, it's the only time in the Hebrew that it is used. And we could rightly say, cast thy gift upon the Lord. We think of a gift as being something pleasurable. But have you had to prove in your life that some of the deepest, darkest burdens have been the greatest gifts? we could say and interpret this verse in this psalm. Give thy gift to the one that has given the gift, the Lord. And that's what we're encouraged to do, isn't it? Lord, you've laid this great thing upon me. I don't know what to do. Therefore, I give it back to thee. You've placed it upon me. Lord, help me in it. Sustain me in it. It's what James says, isn't it? He says, if I can find it, in James chapter 1, we read in verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Your burden tonight, do you see it as a perfect gift? I don't know your situation, and you don't know mine. But I do know that if in the burden, in the gift, he sustains thee, suffers the righteous never to be moved, gives you a glimpse of your God, enables you to trust in him, it will be a precious gift and it will be a precious time. Cast thy gift upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. Because when, as it were, the burden that we have, God in our mind changes that to view it as a gift. With a gift, what do we see? The giver of the gift. And that's what you desire, isn't it, in the trial? To see the giver of the gift. To see the King of Kings. To see Almighty God, his hand ruling and reigning over every event. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Cast thy burden. He shall sustain thee. This is the deliverance, isn't it? We've looked at the burden. Now let us look to the deliverance. The sustaining, the continuing in it, suffering the righteous not to be moved, the considering him in verse 23, and the trusting in him too. Sustain. Doesn't say the Lord will remove the burden. It says he will sustain thee. That's what the Apostle Paul had to prove, wasn't it? With that thorn in the flesh that the Lord gave him. He wanted that thorn in the flesh removed. And maybe that's what you want with your burden. For this thing, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, not yes, Paul. The thorn in the flesh can be removed. But he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. And in that sustaining, Paul could say, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Therefore, I take pleasure in the burdens, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong? Have you had to prove that? When we are physically weak, when we are mentally weak, when we are weak in our own self-righteousness, when we are weak in whatever reason it may be, then and only then do we look for strength and prove that His strength is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. He shall sustain thee. But He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And we want to move, don't we? We want to move away from the trial, but we don't want to move away from Christ, do we? We don't want to move away from that true source of satisfaction and comfort that we have tasted, if ever we have tasted it. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, does it, but grievous. But we have a nevertheless, don't we? Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. No chastening, dear soul, is precious. Joyous, but grievous. But in it, He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And what do the righteous want? What do the Lord's people want? What do those that are saved want in the burden and in the trial and in the difficulty? They want Christ's presence. They want to know that it is well with them and will be well when called to die. And what do they want? They want their eyes to be drawn away from the present burden and difficulty and their eyes drawn heavenward to that which is to come. And that is what sustains the believer in the burden. When their eyes are taken away from the difficulties within, the difficulties around us, the difficulties all about us, and our eyes are drawn for a season heavenward. So when our eyes are fixed on Jesus, that's when the righteous shall never be moved. Casting all our care upon Him, knowing that He careth for you. It's that knowledge that Christ is that heavenly shepherd. His hand is upon us. His eye is over us. And yes, He may let us, and we feel we've wandered far away. But His caring eye is upon us. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved away from Him. Away from Him. And that is what we see as we move into the 23rd verse, isn't it? This is where David's eye was, wasn't it? But thou, he says, O God. That's what he was doing, wasn't it? Considering him. But thou. Wasn't looking now, was he? As he was in the previous verses. The enemy, the wickedness, the guile, the deceit, the way of escape. The wicked. Not looking at that now, is he? But thou, he's saying. But thou, O God. That one who is strong and is mighty. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But thou, O God, wilt deal with all. The wicked seem to prosper in this life, don't they? Sometimes. Do you know what it is to be greatly tried by a wicked person? And everything seems to be going their way. And everything seems to be going against you. Don't forget that we're to love our enemies. to love our enemies. Because, dear friend, if you know tonight, if you've been preserved from eternal damnation by the almighty love of God through Jesus Christ, his Son, if you truly see what you deserve, his righteous wrath, and you truly understand what those that are despitefully using you, those enemies of Christ, have coming towards them, there'll be prayer for them. There'll be concern for them, knowing that they are going down into the pit of destruction. Those bloody and deceitful men will be consumed at that great day. And it's that what we see in the gospel, isn't it? It's the separation between the sheep and the goats, the vile and the righteous, heaven and hell. Thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. But the last part of this psalm is sweet, isn't it? And can we echo those words? Whatever our situation tonight, there's only one way we can do it. As he gives faith. But I will trust in thee. I will. But nothing else to trust in. It's Job that said, wasn't it? Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord, I will trust in thee. Eli, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. I will trust in thee. All things work together to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I will trust in thee. Why? Because he deserves our trust. Because if he has ever shone into our heart, if we ever know anything of the one true living God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent, has revealed unto us by his blessed Spirit, can we not see he deserves our trust? I will trust in thee. Is that your cry this evening? With the disciples, Lord, increase my faith so that I can trust thee more. Give me a stronger anchor in thy faith. Lord, may I hold more solidly to thee who thou art. Not just for what thou dost give me in this life. And that can be the problem for many of us. If we judge our God by what he gives rather than who he is, that's when we come undone. When we look to what he gives rather than the giver that gives, that's when our faith fails. Because we see everything against us, or it feels so, and we forget that it's the Lord that has given the gift. Now I see, the hymn writer says, whate'er betide, all is well. What if Christ be mine? Yes, that's it, isn't it? Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. I came across a little hymn that I wrote out put in the front of my hymn book this week. And it did so touch me. If your body suffer pain, and your health you can't regain, and your heart is almost sinking in despair, just remember in his word how he feeds the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Oh, may you, dear friend, be able to do so. Take thy burden to the Lord and leave it there. And then what's the promise? He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. We're at the start of another week. And we often, we don't think, do we? We don't know what this week will bring. It could be the end of one of us here. It could be the news of some terrible disease. It could be some financial calamity. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. But the biggest burden, dear friends, is the burden of sin. That's the burden above all that needs to be placed upon the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May the Lord be with you all, whatever is before any of us, and enable us to cast our burden upon the Lord. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Cottingham will administer the Lord's Supper after this service and address our prayer meeting for the nation tomorrow evening. Mr. Fred Ince is expected to preach on Tuesday evening and Mr. Philip Warren next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn number 249. 249. O love divine, how sweet thou art. When shall I find my willing heart all taken up by thee? I thirst and faint and die to prove the greatness of redeeming love, the love of Christ to me. Hymn 249.
Almighty Lord God, the giver of every burden, the supplier of all our need. Lord, whatever thou seest fit to cause us to walk in, may we each know the greatness of redeeming love, the love of Christ to me. That will more than compensate, Lord, for whatever we may be in or may be called to walk in, to know the unchanging love of Christ to me. Lord, may it be so. And as we gather around thy table now, Lord, may that be what we ponder there, that dying love. Consider him. Consider him. Lord, we long to draw near now as we gather around thy table. Truly remove all distracting thoughts. By the power of thy blessed Spirit, touch our hard hearts so that we may be softened a little and rejoice in the shed blood and broken body of our Saviour. Come, Lord, we pray. Bless that which has been of thee in our worship here tonight and indeed this day. May we not leave it all as we leave thy house, but ponder thy word, and may that be what remains indeed. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each now and forevermore. Amen.